right, welcome back to the Young Turks. Hannah Kress and Brett Ehrlich. What is this?
Woo-hoo.
Okay, woo.
A mistake.
Okay. That is one theory. Brett, of course, from Pop Trigger, Hannah from Think Tank, although we all move around. All right, let me read some tweets for you guys. Actually, first, let me start with Super Chat on YouTube. Every time I think of that, I think of like the Super Friends. Like, that's the kind of chat they would have. Superman to Wonder Woman would be like, I want to super chat you. Anyways.
I like the idea of them having their own social media platform.
Yeah. Anyway, so Grinderman writes in, just Ceramies. I don't know what it's in relationship to, but God bless your heart. So you asked for one, I'll give it to you.
Ceramies.
Okay. All right, back to the tweets. Hashtag TYT Live. Talk to us while the show is live, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern on tytnetwork.com/live. Okay, JNF writes in, I'm willing to give Trump a pass on the bow since they were giving him a necklace slash pendant, but there was no need for the curtsy. I think that's a fair line to draw in that case. RDGP says, I'm a Brit. The electoral system's not the same as US presidential elections. We also don't go for populism as much, too. Artie, agree to disagree. You are wrong. How do you explain Brexit? That was clearly populist. The establishment hated it, didn't want it to happen at all, and told us that there was no chance it was going to happen. And you guys went populist.
So. Yeah, but besides that, that's one time.
Besides the thing that started the great unraveling, other than that, what do you have? Anyway, Jack McAnally says people are voting against Theresa May slash the Tories than voting for Corbyn. Exactly, Jack. That's the whole point. That's exactly what happened here. You think like the whole country was excited to vote for Donald Trump? We're like, yay, Donald! No, fortunately, unfortunately, however you want to frame it, a lot of people basically voting against Hillary Clinton and the establishment. That's why, give me odds, I'll take the populace against the establishment every time all across the world these days. And finally, Chris Allen writes in, Bernie would be even better if he could rely on his fellow Democrats. Yes, he would be more effective and get Democratic votes more frequently, but that's the Democratic Party we have for now. Okay. By the way, I hope tomorrow I'm going to have a segment for you guys on new Justice Democrats that are coming out. Okay.
Wow.
We are rocking and rolling. Go to justicedemocrats.com. If you want to start donating to the candidates that are running, including the person running against Joe Manchin, go to justicedemocrats.com/donate. Okay. We got a lot of news. Hannah, you got it for us. Let's do it.
Let's do it. So on Saturday, video of a little girl being dragged into the ocean by a sea lion went viral. Now, port authorities and online commenters are actually blaming her family for reckless behavior. Now, you've probably already seen the video. We can't show it to you now, but we do have some still images from it. So the sea lion jumps up, grabs her dress, pulls her in, to the water. Obviously, people are screaming, you know, don't know how to react. It's very chaotic. And then a man jumps in after her and picks her out of the water. Now, before this all went down, people were throwing bread into the water to feed the sea lion, and he was coming up to eat it. Or he or she, I don't know the sex of the sea lion.
It was Mark. So yeah, it's a
they,
he. Mark the
they,
sea lion.
They were coming up to eat the bread. And then she like sort of comes up at her, and they all sort of ooh and ah. And then the next time he comes up, she's sitting now, and he grabs her and pulls her in. Now, I want to read you this quote from the chair of Stevenson Harbor Authority. He says, you wouldn't go up to a grizzly bear in the bush and hand him a ham sandwich, so you shouldn't be handing a 1,000-pound wild mammal in the water slices of bread. And you certainly shouldn't be letting your little girl sit on the edge of the dock with her dress hanging down after the sea lion has already snapped at her once. Just totally reckless behavior. Now, after this incident, they have put up some signs near the dock warning people that the sea lion is there, warning them that there's actually a penalty for disturbing a marine mammal that can go up to $100,000, and also that it can cause some pretty serious infections that may actually lead to amputation of a limb or even death. What do you guys think? Do you think it was the parents' reckless behavior? Do you think people are being overly attackive of the parents?
Yeah. Okay, so I watched the video immediately because I got young kids. Well, I probably would have watched it without young kids anyway. It was a lot of fun. I mean, serious warning. And I watched it with my six-year-old son. One, because I know he'd love it. Two, because it's a good warning, right? Be careful about animals. Here's the thing about animals. They're animals. Right? They don't know. They don't know. We all think that they're cute, like, oh, a sea lion, and throwing the bread in there in the video. And the moment that he pulls her into the water is like one of the most frightening things you've ever seen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like, when he did it, both me and my son, when we were watching the first time, we were like, ah!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. It's like, I don't know. It's like when you see behind the scenes footage of a stunt person who is on a string that's supposed to simulate what happens when you get blown back by an explosion, and they just yank them. That's what it is, because her hands go forward and she goes flying back. It's absolutely astonishing. But I mean, here's one way that you've been warned not to give food to these animals. They're called sea lions. They're not called sea kittens. They have names like lion. And if you ever have seen them, like at Fisherman's Wharf in San Francisco, they have this big area that everybody goes, and the sea lions are far away, and they're jerks. I don't know if you saw Finding Dory, but the sea lion, the way that they show it is like just hanging out, and then another sea lion tries to get up on that thing. They're just like, get away! And they yell and bite and claw at each other. They're not
nice creatures.
That's
good evidence for how awful these marine animals
are. I saw it in Finding Dory.
Yeah. It must be true.
No, I mean, I think this is just like a small example of a broader issue, right? Because I think people like see wild animals and they want to get a picture and they want to get close and have that interaction. And while I think it is great to foster a love for animals and build that relationship, you do have to remember that they're wild animals and they have wild instincts, and so they thought, you know, the port officials are saying that they think that they must have thought that the dress was bread, and so of course you're feeding it bread, and then he thinks it's food, and then he's gonna pull it in, like, hello.
Or he's like, why the hell are you feeding me bread? I want to eat that girl. That's way more delicious looking.
So they're saying that he was probably just as surprised as she was that she fell into the water after. Like, you can see he's not trying to pull her down or anything like that.
I think we're interpreting his actions way too much.
I interviewed him.
Yeah, I
know. And he was like, I was just hungry.
I'm just repeating what the port.
No, I get it. Yeah.
I'm not a duck.
You know what?
Watch Finding Dory.
Expert.
You'll learn a lot about science.
I know why people say it. You know why? Because they all secretly sing this in their head.
Animals are innocent.
Okay. But the reality is, animals are not innocent. They're just animals. They're not guilty, they're not innocent, they're not evil, they're not good, okay? And sometimes they see a little girl and they see lunch, and that doesn't make them bad people or animals. It just makes them a sea lion.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I totally get the instinct to be like, what was the sea lion thinking? I don't know, just don't get near it. You know?
Yeah, we just need to respect their space. That's what I think.
Sure.
Like, we're in their grill.
Way to go, grandpa. I mean, if it's not that kid's grandpa, he was like grandfather aged, who just didn't wait a half a second.
Right, yeah,
like,
that
his
was very impressive.
Sunglasses come flying off. He's still got like his phone in his pocket.
Yeah.
It was just, and he was just fully in there. And then whoever pulled him out didn't care as much because they're just like yanking.
Yeah,
and he didn't have a good time, but he saved the girl and she was unharmed.
Yeah,
that's what it says.
Yeah, that they say that she has no. They didn't see any injuries. Apparently, they fled the scene right after. I think they were in shock, so no injuries to be seen. So hopefully she's okay. Yeah. Hopefully sea lion's okay, and everybody learned a good lesson.
Yeah, and look, I'm going to double down on bread. I've got that guy in the running for Turk of the Year because he was in there and rescued her so quick that I was blown away by it. There was no instinct of, hey, let me take my wallet out, let me take my phone. He's like, boom, gone, boom, got her out. I'm done.
Amazing.
I was like, good work, son.
Yeah, that's impressive. All right, should we move on to some other animal news? All right.
Great.
A highly highly regarded South African houndsman has been crushed alive by an elephant who was shot during the houndsman's hunting trip. Now, Thunis Botha, 51, was leading a hunt with clients when the group accidentally walked into the middle of a breeding herd of elephants at the Good Luck Farm near Hwange National Park. Okay, which is a
bad luck farm.
A game reserve in Zimbabwe. Now, three of the elephant cows charged the hunters, okay? And Mr. Botha fired a shot from his rifle, but he was caught by surprise by a fourth cow that stormed them from the side. Now, one of the hunters shot the elephant after she lifted Botha with her trunk, and the elephant then collapsed on top of him. So he is a hunter, and so he has sort of pioneered, they say, this European style Monteria hunts, which are basically they use large packs of dogs to drive deer and boar towards the hunters, and then they hunt them. Now, he specializes in hunting leopards, and basically he's known to go to America and find wealthy people to then bring over to Zimbabwe to shoot these big game. I don't know what they were looking for with this particular hunt, but they apparently were not trying to shoot the elephants. They came across them, then the elephants, they were, you know, trying to breed, and I think there was a pregnant one in the mix. And so they became very agitated. Elephants are known to be very protective and to stampede, obviously, and that was what happened. And so it's very unfortunate that he passed away. But again, this is just another example of these animals in the wilds that are going to have these animal instincts, and you have to have caution around them.
I wonder what the people within the community are thinking, because I imagine it's something like, well, this is dangerous. And I kind of prefer this kind of hunting where you put yourself in harm's way if you got to do it. Mm-hmm. And then you suffer the consequences if the consequences befall you. I always think of like hunting like birds and how crappy that seems to me, or like hunting like boar or something where you can stand 1,000 yards away from, or you know,
or you're 100, in a car or something.
Yeah, like or that. Yeah, you're driving down, yeah. Or you're shooting it from a helicopter. Sarah Palin hunting wolves or whatever. Like that's the kind of stuff that it doesn't seem as fair. It's like this seems actually like a more fair game than otherwise.
Yeah, I'm gonna be harsher. So I'm not a hunter. I know hunters, and God bless, and you know I get it. And like there's plenty of deer in America. You're not, and it's part of nature too, for because we're hunters and that's how we collect. And then the hunters I know, they eat it. They eat
yes,
the deer,
same.
Right? So, but this is part of the game. And so if you're brag about how you're a tough guy hunter your whole life, and you get crushed by an elephant. Well, okay, in some ways it retroactively made your bragging worth it, right? Like, hey, it turns out you really were in danger. And then so, like, it's easy for us to use our weapons to kill these animals. Super easy. So one time when you get caught, hey, okay, all right, apparently there was some danger in there. So God bless. I mean, the elephants never had a chance, and he did shoot them. And so, right. I don't know, I'm not that broken up by it. Does that make me a bad guy?
The two elephants that were shot.
Just like doing the other elephant thing.
But it's like they're just doing their thing. They're trying to breed. You know what I mean? They're trying to get it on.
Yeah, how would you like it if you were in the middle of breeding and some bitch breaks into your house
and
goes, I'm a houndsman, that's okay.
And then you got shot. Like, you're like, get out of here. And then they just start shooting.
Look, I understand that like there's like the hunter-gatherer in it, and I get that aspect of it. And if you are like hunting to eat, I can sort of rationalize it. But if this guy's hunting leopards, he's not eating leopards. He was putting them in his house. It's just like, it's.
Yes.
It's,
oh, dude.
It's
growing
messed
up. Growing up, I knew this family, and their house was terrifying. They lived on like this hill, and the dad made like transistors or something and had so much money, and they would spend it going on safari. And there were these terrifying photos of like the mom with a dead baboon, and she draped the arm around her. And then in their house, they brought back the trophies, and you'd walk down this hallway, and it would be like crocodile and like an elephant skull. And you just think to yourself, like, this is the set, like at night when you have to go get a drink of water in this house, it must be like a horror movie.
Yeah.
Well, I was gonna say, did anybody come up to you and go, get out now?
Yes, exactly. It felt like that. I don't get the instinct. I at least get like people for whom the hunt is like a challenge, and the, you know, it takes a lot of patience and
do like a Rubik's cube. I'm sorry, like if you need a challenge and patience, do a Rubik's cube. Don't go shoot like these beautiful, majestic creatures.
Yeah. I like fishing and releasing the fish. Because I feel like I gave it a really great story.
Like, but then it has like a.
That's also from Finding Dory.
Like it's gonna go like, I mean, maybe it was like living a bad life, and it was like I got something happened. I was pulled up into this weird bright area. I couldn't breathe, and I looked at this giant creature, and it let me go. I'm gonna spend more time with my kids now.
that's how fish think, right?
That's how fish think.
They probably think we're aliens. Okay, now look, so last thing on this is, well, maybe a couple things. So one is that there's a range of hunters, right? Again, I knew another guy that was from Texas that used to hunt rabbits because they were dirt poor and that's what they would eat.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
So that's on one side. The other side is the Trumps. You know, that's to be fair, not even the Trumps. The opposite end of the spectrum. And I, of course, am referring to the kids, Eric and Donald Jr., who go and cut off different body parts of animals and brag about it. But no, it's the poachers. So that go and kill the rhinos, et cetera, to saw off their tusks. And that is the worst of the worst. And the people who pay for that tusk, thinking that it's going to make their penis larger, you are part of the worst of the worst.
Because it doesn't work. That's what's so frustrating about it. You're guaranteed that it will, and it just doesn't.
I think there needs to be a change in the way that we talk about it, because it's still called a trophy. And even like when us we're talking about it, we're talking about this like these animals that they bring home as trophies. But if you talk like a rotting carcass, like people might not be as like excited to do it. Like I framed a rotting carcass.
Right, like an expert who knows exactly how to put you in a position to kill this animal takes you to that position and you kill the animal. That's like the trophy that those people probably complain about that everyone gets at the AYSO. It's the same thing.
Yeah, and look, finally, if you're going to hunt leopards or wolves or something along, not something you're gonna eat, right? Mm-hmm. But you're doing it for games so you can win a trophy, etc. You at least have the decency to do it with bows and arrows, knives, etc. I mean, shooting it from a distance with a snipe, you know, like a sniper with a rifle, what is that? That's fun? That's fair? That's not fair, right?
Yeah.
So my point is, you have nothing to brag about. Yeah. Now you go kill a cheetah with your bare hands.
Yeah.
Mom, hey, brother, you got me on that one. Nice work.
Okay. Hand-to-hand combat. That's how hunting should be.
Right.
Paw to hand.
So and look, last thing is that so this guy, he's got a family. So of course I feel bad for his family and stuff. And look, you can actually argue that he was a hunter to be more respected, because apparently he was endangering his life, right? And he wound up costing him his life because he was more of a sportsman and taking more risks than other people sitting miles away shooting at the animals, right? So if that's any solace to you guys, then you know, credit to him on that. But you can't say that you want credit for being a great hunter and then say like it's an outrage that a hunter would ever die. You can't have it both ways, especially if you're called a houndsman. Okay, let's keep going.
All right. During his father's funeral this weekend, Roger Ailes' son, Zachary, pledged his revenge on anyone who betrayed the former Fox News chairman and CEO. Presumably, this means that any woman who claimed sexual harassment against Ailes. Now, during the funeral, he said that his father considered how much certain people hated him as a measure of success, which is interesting. And then he said that he was going to fight to clear his father's name after a series of sexual harassment allegations, saying that I want all the people who betrayed my father to know that I'm coming after them and hell is coming with me. So obviously, the apple does not fall far from the tree there. And this is unfortunate, because I think a lot of the times when these people come out for, you know, sexual harassment claims and they're from however many years ago, Or you know, people wonder why people don't give their names or whatever. Like, why didn't you say something? Why didn't you say? This is why. Because now this billionaire little twerp is saying that all hell is coming for you because you said you came forward and said that this abuse happened to you. And it's just
I get
awful.
It. I get what you're saying. This kid's 17. That's the thing that I had all those thoughts and I'm like, how old is this kid? And I'm like, ooh, 17.
It doesn't matter. At 17, you know right from wrong.
Dude, you know, my dad died when I was 18 and it was sucky. And I turned on like all my friends for a couple of months and I had to speak at like my father's funeral. And it was, I don't remember what the fuck I said. Like I just started like reciting memories and just like like crying. And so I get it. I hope that this, like, I understand that your dad, probably at this point in your life, your dad's a superhero. Like, your dad created Fox News and his whole thing was to get people mad at him. And he's probably proud that all these bad people were vilifying his good father. And at this point, like, I'm willing to carve out a window of time for this guy to hopefully go take some time off, get away from it. Be angry, go through all your stages of grief. But if afterwards you're still going after people who, as you say, like, had to go through like a really crappy situation. And guess what? They didn't know it was gonna kill your father. They didn't know that. I mean,
yeah.
They were speaking up for all the reasons you do. If after a while this kid's still singing this tune, then we have a different conversation, in my opinion.
Well, I'm between you guys, both literally and metaphorically. And so, on the one hand, I'm with Brett that 17-year-old kids who just lost their dads are gonna be pissed. And they don't have the full context. What would you believe? A bunch of people, you don't know your dad, right? So, and I knew somebody, a really good friend of mine who lost their dad just around that age. And full of rage and it wasn't even an Ailes type of situation where there's a lot of people who hate him and then you feel like you're besieged and et cetera, right? On the other hand, if after you know you take time to grieve and all that stuff, he then uses his, now Ailes wasn't a billionaire but had plenty of money. He uses tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars to actually bring hell with him. Like if he was a kid, his dad died, he watched Tombstone and he says this, that's okay, I get it, right? But if he actually used the money to go after the people who had sued him for sexual harassment or made those charges, then I'm gonna flip over to Hannah's side a 1,000,000,000%.
Yeah, but I think even the way that we're like starting to talk about this like is still sort of putting these women in a really bad situation, even saying like victim shaming, the way that we're talking about Roger Ailes' death, saying that all these allegations against him is what like killed him. No, like if somebody sexually abuses you, you should come forward. And we have this climate right now where women don't feel like, women and men don't feel like they can because they're gonna be shamed or they're gonna be told that they're lying or they're gonna be told that all hell is gonna break loose or that they're killing somebody because they caused them so much stress after causing, you know, after these claims of harassment. And that's not the kind of climate that we want to be in. So like this is like I feel for this kid. I have seen death up very close and I know how much it can fill you with rage and how you want to like get revenge. But at the same time, you're 17 years old and you can't be like continuing and perpetuating this sort of cycle against women who come forward.
And I hope that there's someone around him right now saying those exact words because that's a really great message. I believe that, as I said, like these women came forward for good reasons. And I don't think they're lying. And I think there is no place for that kind of behavior in the workplace to do that to the women that Roger Ailes, you know, allegedly victimized, who I'm, you know, willing to believe he actually did all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I hope there's someone around this kid saying, listen, those women came forward. We'll let that bear out. In the meantime, like, let's get you back on normal footing. Cause he is a kid at 17 who just lost his dad. And while he might well be like a total twerp, and someone with that much money is likely to be a total twerp. But like I want to give him like a couple months to, you know, go take part of that $40 million exit package that you're inheriting and just like take a vacation and just kind of deal with it.
Yeah, so last thing on it is, again, one hand, other hand. He didn't say the women, right? If he means like his dad's political enemies like us, then have at it, Hoss, right? We're adults, we're grown-ups. You wanna waste your money, enjoy, right? But if you do mean the women, well, then again, I hope that that couple of months helps you to cool down, etc. Because your dad did do it. So on the day that Roger Ailes died, I gave Roger Ailes a lot of crap because that's exactly what he deserved. Dying didn't magically make him a good person. He was a terrible person when he was alive. He was a terrible person the day after he died. Now, some people justifiably said, hey, but you know, he's got a family, who cares about him? Okay, but we're talking about the record here. Like, why need everybody to know why he was a bad guy and why we shouldn't make those same mistakes and go down that same direction again. They say, no, today's not the right day. What, am I supposed to randomly talk about it 2.5 weeks later? What a preposterous thing to say. Should I do a segment on Antonin Scalia and what a bad guy he was like a year later after he died? No, you talk about the guy when he died. So, and if you know the details of what he did to those women, it is it's maddening. It's so outrageous. He would literally take out his penis and chase them around the room. Okay,
Brett, I was reading this story earlier and I was going into some of the allegations, and Brett heard me like audibly like show my disgust. Ugh. And Brett was like, "Hey, you okay there?" He like thought I was gonna puke because I was reading through some of their stories. And so yeah, you're right. Like, it is so disturbing. And while I agree with you. Like, you have to represent the person, and regardless of whether they're dead or alive, you have to be able to like give a fair representation. And unfortunately for Roger Ailes, and unfortunately for his son, his accurate representation is not a pretty one.
Yeah, and not only do they do that to all those women, and I think the worst than even the sexual, I don't know if you can get worse than sexual assault, was that he said to them, "I will ruin your career if you don't sleep with me, and if you do, I'll make your career." And he followed through on that threat. That is a really, really bad dude. Okay, let alone the bigotry that he poured into this country, the hatred that he poured in through his propaganda on Fox News and when he worked for Nixon, Reagan, etc. So if you're outraged that I'm saying that, have at it, Hoss. Okay, so leave the women alone. They came after your dad because they were finally standing up for themselves. Okay, but if after a couple months you're still mad and you say, how dare you know they say that? And here, you know, we're being true to what we said on day one. For his family, that's their business, and I get why they're angry. Brett and I just said it, right? And I get if I was 17 years old, I might have the same exact reaction as him, right? But if after a couple of months you're still mad and you think this is not good enough and you want to then strike back for your dad and join his team, then come and get some, okay? But for now, cool it with the talk about going after the women. Okay, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and give you more stories, including a Trump backer. Huh, interesting. Boy.
Yeah.
Boy
is right.
When we come back. All right, back on the Young Turks. Let me read some quick tweets for you guys. Jeff Anderson writes about both the sea lion and the elephant story. Here's the thing about animals, they're innocent. Agreed.
Animals are innocent.
Woke Bay writes in, that man that saved the little girl from the sea lion needs to jump in and save America from our grabby animal.
Wow. That was good.
Kicking It writes, an eye for an eye, why don't we stop hunting innocent animals? I have no sympathy for them. Damn. Stagger Lee says, never interrupt an elephant orgy. Well, yeah, now lesson learned. Okay. Yeah.
Good reference, Stagger Lee.
Far left writes in, sounds like Zachary Ailes is going all Green Goblin on his perceived enemies. So that is a funny reference. Let's hope he doesn't, though. And our members of the day are Charles Cook and Vivian Chen. Members to the Young Turks make this show possible. And then we're going to give you guys a good post game here with Hannah and Brett. It'll be fun as usual. Brett will regale us with more sea lion stories. I feel like Brett can establish a personal connection to almost any story.
It's true. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
So that's if you want to be a member, tyrtnetwork.com/join. We have breaking news for you guys, and it is tragic news. An explosion at Ariana Grande concert just happened. It's in Manchester, England, that this explosion happened. Apparently, there were deaths involved, And we'll try to give you as much context as we can, as it just happened while we're doing the show live.
Yeah, so there's not a lot of details out yet. It was at the Manchester Arena. It was immediately following her concert. Apparently, some of the concert goers heard two loud bangs near the ticket area. And then they just sort of described seeing chaos, people dropping their phones, people dropping their belongings, running. Some people claimed that they saw blood. We're not sure if some of these claims are true yet. They're saying that it might have been confetti or something like that. But there are, unfortunately, a number of confirmed fatalities, a lot of people injured, and many people sort of coming and talking to the police about some of the things that they saw. And people who live in the area are being warned to stay away from the area. There's video out now you can look up of some of the chaos that was happening at the scene. But as I mentioned before, we don't have a lot of the details yet. We just heard about this tragic event while we were on the air.
Yeah, and last year, last May in Manchester, they canceled a big soccer game because there were reports of heightened security threats, heightened terrorist threats, but that had to do with the new IRA, the new Irish Republican Army, and what they found was a fake bomb. There's no reports yet as to whether that's attached to this kind of incident, but this area has been a target, and large, high profile sporting arenas in Manchester have been targets of terrorist threats before. But there's no confirmation as to what exactly happened.
And Europe has been targeted before, obviously, in acts of terrorism, and including at other large sporting events. Now, this is a concert, obviously. And in Paris, we had an attack pretty close to their elections. There's an election 2.5 weeks from now in the UK. We, of course, have no idea if it's related to that. But it's a normal question that you ask in a situation like this, given that something very similar happened in Paris just a little while ago. Yeah. And it's important to note that Ariana Grande's record label says that the singer is okay. So there are reported fatalities, but Ariana Grande is not among them.
Yeah, I mean, it's just devastating that this is something that you have to work out. Deal with and expect almost from some of these sorts of big crowd events.
You know, now look, security's getting tighter and tighter. So I was at YouTube Brandcast, which is the big thing that YouTube puts together for advertisers, etc. But because there was that YouTube star that was killed just last year. Yeah. And so now there's much more security all around us. And it's maddening because they attack places where there's a lot of people. So it drives us apart, and it literally terrorizes us, no matter who did it, right? And that's what they're trying to do. So if it's airplanes, it's trains, it's large sporting or singing events, etc., singing events, concerts, they're trying to get us to not come together, like almost literally.
And I think this one's probably especially egregious. I think we'll realize as more details come out, because this is Ariana Grande, and she is, her audience is mainly teens. And so I think this is going to be a particularly devastating one.
Yep. Okay, let's do one more story here in this hour.
Okay. During Trump's inauguration weekend, millionaire John Joseph Boswell sexually abused the hotel maids in his DC Mayflower Hotel. And now he has to pay a whopping $50 fine.
Wow.
So this is a picture of John Joseph Boswell, and he is the chief executive of Independent Stave Company, the world's largest wine and whiskey barrel manufacturer. He lives in a 14,000 square foot, $7 million mansion in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida, 20 miles from Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate. Now, he has contributed more than $120,000 to Republican candidates and conservative groups over the past 25 years. As I mentioned at the start of the video, he was in DC for Trump's inauguration. But the victim of his crime is a maid who we will not be naming in this video. She's an African immigrant who makes about $20 an hour, and she commutes into the city to do her job. And according to the police report, as she made his bed, he approached from behind and began rubbing her buttocks. He said, "This is very nice stuff. Ugh. I like that."
Ugh.
Then when another maid emerged from the bathroom, Boswell immediately moved. And the first maid rushed out of the room shaking and told her coworker that she had to clean it herself. Now, as the second maid attempted to make the bed, Boswell approached her too and placed his hand on the top of her shoulder until she ordered him to sit down. Now, he has pleaded guilty to this, but then during an interview with the Washington Post, which I'm reading the story from, he actually maintained his innocence in the interview and says, I patted her on her lower back. It was a friendly gesture.
Oh, God.
Now, he was sentenced to 10 days incarceration and 6 months probation, although the jail time was suspended. And during that 6 months probation, he went on vacation to the Bahamas. Judge Michael Ryan also ordered him to pay $50 into the crime victims compensation fund, which is 1/5 of the maximum penalty for the offense, because sort of giving sort of unwarranted and unwanted sexual grabbing is a Class C misdemeanor, and the biggest fine that you have to pay for that is about $500. So clearly this is an example of what happens when you are a rich white male.
So he, yeah, even if it was, so that's 1/5 of the maximum penalty, they say is 50. It depends on what it is. Sometimes some sources say it's like $100 is like their maximum because it's 10 days or less in certain crimes.
Right.
Either way, $50 to this guy, $100, $250 to him is the same amount of money statistically. It, you know, the marginal difference as it relates to his overall income of, as reported here, $600,000 a month. Like, why not give him the maximum? And the idea behind punishments, in, as many people put out, is to kind of get to this guy to say, dude, don't do that again.
Yeah.
And there is literally no consequence. This is an inconsequential amount of money for him to pay. And if he's on probation, you hear about like your parole officer, your probation officer saying, you know, don't go anywhere. If he's allowed to go to the Bahamas, I think a way to get through to this guy is to say, no, you can't go on vacation because that's not okay to do what you did.
Right, exactly. And it's inconsequential for him, but extremely consequential for this woman, especially the first maid who, I guess the defense attorneys went to her apartment and were aggressively asking her questions. So then she moved and apparently, according to the second maid that was involved in this situation, cries every time it's brought up. So this is clearly devastating for her. And apparently, I looked into this. It's actually very, very common in this industry. And it's, I think it's about over 50% of hotel maids say that they have been groped or had sexual advances made towards them while on the job. Wow. And so this is really a huge, huge issue that we need to address. And charging somebody $50 for touching somebody's butt while they're trying to do their job is not the way we're going to do that.
Well, so that's sexual assault. So look, there's two parts of the story that's maddening. One is, the judge clearly felt some sort of sympathy for him, and there's two different, you know, justice systems. And if you're rich and you're in a guy's, this guy's situation, I mean, like Brett said, giving the maximum wouldn't make any difference. But saying I'm going to give you 1/5 of the maximum is kind of rubbing in the victim's face. Like, I don't think what he did was a big deal. I'm going to let him go to the Bahamas and I'm going to make him pay you $50. And then the hypocrisy of these guys. I thought you didn't like immigrants. You apparently like this immigrant. Yes. A lot of times they say a lot of things where they don't like African Americans. Apparently you like this. And she was married with 3 young children back at home. What happened to your family values, you scumbag? And you gave $120,000 to Trump, a similar scumbag. So now we know what you're about. All right, quick break. We'll come back for more in a sec. All right, back on the Young Turks. Larry R. Porter already wrote in that quick break. Does a sex offender who assaulted the maid have to register as a sex offender? That's a good question.
Yeah.
If he was a young black male, almost certainly would have to. But as the rich guy that he is, I think that from the Bahamas, he's shouting, no, I don't have to. I was telling these guys during the break, but two other parts of the story that enraged me are him saying, well, I didn't really do it. No, you pled guilty, dick. That means you did. You're saying you did do it in the court of law. If you're committed perjury, then let's get, bring you back in and put more charges on you.
Right? Yeah.
And you don't get to say, anyone who says I patted her lower back means I grabbed her ass. Okay, that's so fucking obvious.
But even if that was like it, like don't touch her. Like don't touch anybody.
Don't.
I mean, it's just, it is so, I know we're gonna go, I'm gonna go on a tangent here, but I was reading some of the stories from these hotel workers who were talking about these experiences, and they say like the hotel policy is to close the door, right? Because if they leave it open while they're cleaning the room, then people can come in and they can be in danger. Or when they close the door, they're also put themselves in danger, because oftentimes there's people in the room, they talk about people who will open their robes and try to make sexual advances. So either way, they're in these really, really dangerous situations, and it's not right. You don't get to touch somebody just because they're in your room, or you think that they're lower than you, or they're the service industry. It is so messed up.
So did you say 50%?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So that's according to surveys. So my guess is that it's probably more, because a lot of the times these sorts of things go underreported.
I mean, imagine all the rooms that you have to hit every day. There's gonna be this one makes me sick in my skin crawl.
Yeah, and I of course didn't know that stat, but anytime like I'm in hotels a billion times throughout the year because of all the travel that I do. So sometimes you'll run into a situation where someone is still in the room cleaning when you come back from breakfast or something like that, right? I either leave or whatever, or if we're in the room at the same time and they're gonna finish up, I'm all the way at the other end of the room. You know why? Because in my gut, I know that shit like that happens, and you don't wanna make them uncomfortable, right? So this guy, on the other hand, how many fucking times did he do this?
What a
do you see what I'm saying?
That's like, not his first rodeo, yeah.
Yeah, it's instead of thinking, hey, let me make sure they're comfortable and I'm nowhere near them, God knows what they're thinking, right? He thinks the exact opposite. Let me go grab their ass because I can.
It's so
and I've done this 100 times and gotten away with it.
What a pathetic instinct. Like, it's so pathetic to be like, this is where I need to assert my awesomeness and the disparity in our two situations.
Because you know why he did that? Because he knows that this woman isn't gonna come forward and isn't gonna talk about it, because she's so fearful for losing her job, because they're in these situations where they're getting paid very low and they don't have like a lot of job security, and so he can exert his power in this way. And it's just like the most disgusting, you're right, it's the most disgusting exertion of power.
Yeah. Ugh. All right, so unfortunately, the next story doesn't get that much better.
Yeah. Two Detroit doctors and one of their wives are being charged for genital mutilation in federal court after doing FGM on 2 7-year-old girls, and their lawyers are claiming that is their religious right to do so. Now, the defendants are part of a religious and cultural community called Daudi Bora, an Islamic sect based in India, which is accused of practicing FGM. Now, one of the doctors is alleged to have carried out the practice on young children for 12 years. The other doctor is accused of letting the first doctor use his clinic to carry out the procedure, while his wife is accused of holding the hands of at least two victims during the cutting procedures to comfort them. Now, their defense lawyers are planning this interesting argument, like I mentioned, claiming that the doctors did not actually cut the girls, just scraped their genitalia, and argue the defendants are being persecuted by practicing their religion. Now, according to legal experts, the defense can show that the procedure was, if the defense can show that the procedure was just a nick and caused no harm, the defendants could be acquitted on religious grounds. But unfortunately, according to court documents, the girls said they were told they were going to Michigan for a special girls trip. One of the girls said that after the procedure, she could barely walk, and that she felt pain all the way down to her ankle. The document said the girls had scarring and abnormalities on their clitorises and labia minora. Like, I'm on the verge of tears, because this is so wrong and inhumane. And I want our country to have religious freedom, but these sorts of acts against humanity and human rights need to trump that. And this is not fair to do to 7-year-old girls.
Yeah.
In America, and to tell, you know, I understand your, you know, again, if it's your religion, practice however you want, but don't do these sorts of awful, horrendous acts that have lasting medical side effects, and is just this exertion of power on women and a way to control female sexuality. I mean, it's devastating.
Yeah, no, there's a very clear distinction, which is, if you want to practice your religion, now I'm not religious, I don't believe in any of the religions. I don't agree with you, but God bless your heart. That's why I love America. It's free exercise of religion is guaranteed to us by the Constitution. So for example, if you're Muslim and you don't want to draw the Prophet Muhammad, go in a corner and don't draw him to your heart's content. Okay? If you want to privately not eat shellfish, you don't want to eat shrimp, you think red lobster is made of the devil, have at it, hoss. Don't do that. Don't eat bacon. Could be halal, kosher, whatever. Go nuts, right? But your rights end when you harm another person. Mm. That is, you don't have the freedom of religion to harm other people. That's not how it works. So these are all balancing acts when it comes to our rights. So when it affects someone else and it harms them, it stops being a right of yours. That is something you are doing to another human being. So this is not remotely a close case. So you want to bring your culture here, wherever you're from, and you want to practice it. That's what makes America great. We're a melting pot. We might not agree on all those different things. I don't agree with headscarves, but I love that the country allows you to wear headscarves, right? Mm-hmm. But the minute you take that scalpel to that poor 7-year-old girl, you're going to jail, and I hope you go to jail for a long, long time. Don't tell me it's your culture or your religion, because I don't care that the laws apply here. American laws apply here that we all agreed to as a community. And if you don't want to abide by those laws, there's a thing called prison where you belong.
Yeah, it's reading up on this practice, there's just such variation in it. There's a Martha Jones article where a woman said, an American woman said, this happened on me, and they took what is called, they call it a pinch of skin, which they compare to like male circumcision, where it doesn't materially affect the any kind of reproductive organs. It's just a rite where it's like, here you go. And then they give it to the parents and then they go bury it. That's part of the rite. The thing is, like, across the spectrum of this religious sect, it goes down to in India and in America, there are ants. It's just the ant is like, okay, so here's how I think it happens. And they take a razor blade and they heat it over the stove, yeah. And then they mutilate. And there's no governing idea. There's conflict over why they do it when they ask each other. Some are saying the thing that a lot of FGM is based around is they don't want the girls to be sexually promiscuous. So we're going to remove the joy of sex from them. And that is like on its face terrible. And then others say, well, there are certain medical aspects that are beneficial when no one believes that to be true.
Yeah, there are actually awful medical side effects, including trouble with menstruation, trouble having children later in life, and so some other things like that. But yeah, Brett, I mean, that's the problem is no, especially when these things happen in America, it's really hard for people to explain why. And some of the explanations that I was able to find in researching this was like they're trying to keep some of their culture. And the other one is that they want to, like, when they get, again, take away some of the sexual pleasure that women have. And so when they go to their husband, they're guaranteed to be a virgin. And
oh, wow.
It
yeah.
is.
I mean, what a big benefit. Okay, so look, so I'm a culture warrior. And so the Bill O'Reilly warned you about me when he said these secular humanists would, you know, want to change our culture. And I do. I want to change some parts of a lot of different cultures. And I'm proud of that. I don't think that. So if you like, I know some liberals don't agree with that. They're like, oh, we have to respect everybody's cultures. Apparently conservatives think you have to keep culture completely the same no matter how horrific it's been, right? So here's a part of our culture in America that I despise and I'm super glad we changed it. Slavery, that was part of our culture. It was horrific and we changed it, thank God. That part of our culture sucked. It was horrible, it was horrific to its core. So some parts of different cultures are terrible. In Central Asia, in some countries, they still kidnap their brides. And it's not fun and games, she doesn't agree. They kidnap her and they rape her, and then her parents come over and convince her to marry her rapist. Now, it doesn't happen all the time, it happens some of the time, and they go, yeah, it's my culture. In the old days, we would have Central Asian hordes and we would, you know, we were nomadic and we would go from yurt to yurt and then we would find women and rape them and keep them. That's my culture. Okay, well, that part of your culture sucks and it infringes on other people's rights. Now, if your country hasn't changed with the times, then I think that's terrible and I feel terrible for the women who live there. I feel terrible for the men who were taught that kind of brutality that live there, okay? But we don't live there. We live here in America where we have laws. You touch another person like that and your terrible excuses, no, I was just scraping her genitalia. No. Maximum punishment, okay? I don't give a damn about your stupid cultural defense. Oh, my culture is horrific. We mutilate women because we don't think they should have any joy at all in their sex lives, and sex is for men to have, and then they are objects for us. Well, your culture is fucking miserable. It's disgusting, and I vote no. And luckily, as a whole society here in America, we voted no. You don't get to cut young girls' clitorises. If you do, there isn't a prison sentence that could be long enough. So if you don't like it, now I'm going to sound really jingoistic here, but I am a legal immigrant. I immigrated to this country, so don't take it the wrong way. If you don't like it and you want to practice your barbaric culture, then get the fuck out because you don't belong here. Was that clear enough?
That was clear. I get ya.
Okay.
Ugh. What about circumcision? What about circumcision? They do it to kids, like newborns. And there are certain parts of the Jewish religion where the moil cuts the tip of the penis off and then sucks the blood.
Let's save that for the postgame.
Okay.
Okay. So for those of you, if you're longtime members, you've heard this before. But for those of you who haven't, I will quickly retell the story of how I got circumcised at the age of 6.
Good for
and
you.
And I totally remember it. Okay. And so we could talk about the moil tradition. We could talk about the Muslim tradition of doing it later in life. Okay, so that'll be in the postgame. TYTnetwork.com/join. Okay, let's see if we can do one more story.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
Last month, the Department of Labor alleged significant pay disparity between male and female employees at Google. Now it looks like Google tried to actually block some of the media coverage of their gender discrimination case and prevent free speech in the process. Now, following a private meeting with the judge about the Guardian's reporting, hold on one second. I'm going to back up real quick and give you guys the case in case you don't remember it from some of our reporting here. Basically, what happened is the Department of Labor asked for salary history data from Google, and Google was like, nah, no thank you, okay? And so the Department of Labor said, hey, you can't really do that because you have to follow Equal Pay Act and some of the equal pay laws that the government enforces because they are a government contractor. So they can get audited and they have to provide that information to the Department of Labor. So Google said that they didn't want to, and then with the history data that the Department of Labor did have, they found these significant pay gaps, okay, between male and female employees. Now, the Guardian reported this, like I mentioned in that graph. The Guardian reported that there was this pay disparity, and people kind of ran with it. And Google still said, no, there's no gap here. In fact, on Equal Pay Day, they said, we have no pay discrimination. We're really proud of that. And the Department of Labor said, nah, you do. Also, hand us the data that you have to hand us. And Google is still refusing to do that. So they are going to court for that. So following a private meeting with the judge about the Guardian's reporting on this disparity, Google's attorney requested that the proceeding be closed to the media before continuing. But a Department of Labor attorney objected, and the judge sided with the government. Now, during the hearing, Google released a statement to The Guardian saying it vehemently disagreed with the unfounded allegations and raised questions about the Department of Labor's data and methodology. Every year, we do a comprehensive and robust analysis of pay across genders, and we have found no gender pay gap. Now, Janet Harold, the regional solicitor for the DOL, told The Guardian by phone, the investigation is not complete, but at this point, the department has received compelling evidence of very significant discrimination against women in the most common positions at Google headquarters. Now, this was a big issue for Google. So they abruptly interrupted the testimony, called for a private meeting with the judge. The judge canceled the rest of the hearing, and they filed a new motion under the seal to dismiss the case based on these remarks that she said, saying we just have this significant evidence. Now, Google questioned whether her comments to The Guardian were unethical, urging the judge not to condone her conduct, citing a California trial publicity rule that says attorneys engaged in ongoing litigation should not make a public statement outside of court that would have a substantial likelihood of materially prejudicing the proceeding. Now, the judge is saying that she did not make an ethical violation, and that this sort of comments to the press would not affect the outcome of the suit. Further, you know, the DOL is saying that basically Google's being inauthentic and is being hypocritical by saying these things because they sort of promote transparency. And I made a comment to the press first, and so just the fact that she then addressed that comment, and now they're trying to shut down the entire case because of this, and saying that all of the data should be moot because of this is wrong. So
okay, let me try to resolve this.
Yes.
Okay, I'll be the arbitrator.
Okay.
And I think that I'm in an interesting, unique position here, where because I run a business, and at the same time, I don't want sex discrimination. So, okay, I think that I'm fair, if you will. We'll find out, right? So, first on the press issue, in legal terms, what Google did opened the door. So, if you open the door to that conversation and you do it publicly, they have a right to respond. Mm-hmm. And it's certainly not a big enough issue for you to try to throw a monkey wrench into the proceedings and not go forward. So that part is dismissed. We're done with it. Okay? So when Google says, I don't want to release this information, they might have a reason why. So for example, if they release all their salaries publicly, that could be a real big issue for all the people who work at Google. And so if they do it, I agree that they should do it in a non-public way. But when they say, no, government, I don't want to give you any of the data to rebut your charges that I have a gender pay gap, well, then how do I prove that you're right? So you have nothing to, no leg to stand on. You could say, hey, don't make it public, but you can't say, I'm not going to give you the info.
Right.
Because if I was the judge, I'd go, okay, you're not going to give me the info, but they did, they presented some evidence, so you're guilty, we're done with it. Like, what do you mean you're not going to give me the evidence? Then I rule against you. Isn't that obvious, right? So, and if Google's claim later, if it turns out there is a gender pay gap, and we don't know, that's the whole point of these proceedings, is right, is if it turns out there is one, and they say, look, our founders make more money than other people, and they both happen to be guys, and that skews the average. Well, I think that's an interesting argument. If, on the other hand, they were saying, okay, we hired editors here or programmers, right? And they're both at the coming out of college, so they're both at the same seniority level. But one's a dude and another's a woman, and so well, come on, of course we gotta pay the dude, you know, 5% more, 15% more, you're gonna lose the case.
Right?
And even if they don't say that, but the numbers prove it, you're gonna lose the case. But they might not. I would be honestly, and maybe I'm biased here in that, you know, we're partners with Google, and I should say that through our YouTube channel, mm-hmm. etc., right? I'd be shocked if Google was like, oh no, for same people at the same position, especially like coming out of college, that's the easiest way to determine, right? They pay men more. I'd be really surprised by that, but maybe they do. That's why you have these proceedings.
So it looks like I did a Facebook video about this on mm-hmm. the Young Turks Facebook when this information first came out. And it looks like when they compare for comparable positions, that mm-hmm. there was this significant disparity, and it was mm-hmm. company wide. So it accounts for some of those things like averaging and things like that. So I mean that's a significant problem, and I understand why Google obviously like doesn't want this press about this, because they are a liberal, you know, big tech company, and there's already so much information about there about sort of sexist workplace culture and pay disparity specifically within the tech industry that they're probably trying to not have put onto them. So I understand why that. But at the same time, like if there is this huge gap, a significant gap between the pay that you're paying your female and your male employees, like I understand not wanting the press, but also like address it.
Yeah. And then their mottos don't be evil. That's the Google thing. Don't be evil. And this seems pretty evil. It might not be, but the optics are not good when they're saying, all right, when Google tweets out, we have closed the pay gap 100%, and the Department of Labor says, okay, prove it. And Google's like, no, trust us. Like that yeah, seems no. pretty evil. That seems pretty terrible. I think there's all, yeah. So
their response to when they first said that was they showed how they provide, like make sure that they're doing equal pay. But it wasn't any sort of information or any statistics. It was just like, oh, this is like the process that we go through.
They have.
So again, it's like, it's just not transparent enough to really bolster their argument here.
Buried in one of their like best practices websites is their equal pay and how they right. kind of hints at how they break it down. And they say kind of initially there's a 20.7% differential between how much women get paid and how much men get paid. And then they go on to say that there are non-gender variables that close that gap, which so essentially if you do some kind of, you know, regressive analysis or, you know, that's a statistical term, you'll find out that it is not as wide as you think. And they cite things like women are in jobs typically throughout America that are lower paying, which is itself a problem. And they're saying in this situation, we are going to, you know, kind of account for that and to see like if a woman is a teacher and teachers get lower pay and guys are engineers and engineers get higher pay, that accounts for it. And that's not Google's problem is kind of what they're saying. But then they go on to say that there's things like experience, unionization in regions. And then after they say they account for that, there's only an 8.4% gap.
But there's so many things that you can't account for when you're talking about different things like that. Let's say we, like you mentioned, some of the both founders are male. I don't know what their, you know, entire executive structure looks like, but my guess is that there's a large portion of it's that male. And so then you're talking about boys club politics and things like that that can also play into it that you really can't parse out that still play a role and will contribute to things that you can't always see and have an explanation for.
Yes, step up, come forward, you know, stress the transparency, say here we go, let's exchange numbers and you tell me if, because we think we did our math right, but if the Department of Labor goes through it and says here's a problem and then they both present their sides and it seems like there is a way to better pay women so that it is right. actually equal to men, then let's just go do that. I get it. Like a lawyer working for Google would probably want right. to find every way to get this case thrown out. But the people represented by those lawyers should say, this is what our company stands for. And we should strive to make that known throughout mm-hmm. the world because we're mm-hmm. not ashamed of it.
It's actually a unique opportunity for a teachable moment. Like you can't say just trust us. That's a losing argument. So I understand all the numbers that you crunched, but we've got to actually see what the salaries are. Again, without names attached, et cetera. And these kind of proceedings actually, I think, can be helpful. And it's entirely possible that Google can come out and show, hey guys, we're not trying to systematically discriminate. And we pay the same amount for the people coming in at the same level. But here are the different factors. And by the way, they might both have 7 years of experience, but one experience is different than the other experience. So let's show you all the different, I know that they don't like it because it's gonna cost them a lot of money and it might be terrible PR. But you should only really run from this case if you actually did it, right? If you're guilty, because right now that's what the appearance is to Brett's point about the optics. You're making everybody assume that about you. At least if you showed the numbers in court, not mm-hmm. necessarily publicly again, and made your case, it could be an interesting moment that we could all learn from. And then maybe your case is effective. And people go, oh, you know what? At the end of the day, that wasn't fair. There is a disparity, but here's why. But we can't find out until you share the numbers.
And here's how we fix it. I mean, that would be such an amazing, I think that would actually be a great PR move mm-hmm. to say, yeah, this is a huge problem in the tech industry. We thought we weren't guilty of it, but it turns out like even unbeknownst to us, even not trying to, we were. And here are the ways that it happened and here are the ways that we're gonna fix it. I mean, I think that's amazing PR.
Right, and I'd say like, what are Google's vulnerabilities? Like by and large, Google gives people access to information throughout the world, positive, positive, positive. In these female genital mutilation stories that we're talking about, there are people that through Google have found out that there are other people like them who have faced these kinds of situations. So that's great, that's what we like Google for. But what is the single thing that a lot of us point to Google and get scared about? It's privacy. And if their defense is that the questions brought about by the Department of Labor are overly broad and violates their workers' privacy, like, okay, buddy, now we're having a discussion about privacy with Google. You want to shut the reporters out of your hearings. Well, the stuff you know about those reporters and when they searched for edible panties on Amazon, like you know that kind of stuff about them. We're just trying to find out whether you live up to the Equal Pay Act because you're a government contractor. I think it's a fair question.
All right, we're way out of time.
No.
Okay, but like I said, more circumcision stories in the post game. They are interesting, somewhat disastrous stories if you've never heard them before. So that's at tytnetwork.com/join.
Bye-bye.